Did you come to hear preaching? I'm not going to fool around. I'm going to preach tonight. Fooled around some more. I'm going to preach tonight. 1 Peter chapter 5, stand to your feet. Turn your Bible open there. I got a good thought tonight. I'm going to let it rip, all right? For about 30 minutes, I'm going to let it rip. I'm going to preach the Word of God. Got something on my heart that I think will be a help to you tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verses 1 through 11. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now, before I go on, I'm going to describe what an elder is and who an elder is. A lot of folks, I know churches that are organized like this. Let me explain to you how they're organized. They have a pastor, then they have a deacon board, a trustee board, y'all listening, and an elder board. I want all y'all to know this. That's not scriptural. Now, the deacon board, the trustee board, in our case, by the way, the early deacons were the deacons and trustees. That's what they took care of. They took care of those things. The elder, and you'll be able to see it. When I read these verses about what an elder is, you tell me who an elder is. Now look at it and let's see it. Look at verse number 2. It describes it. Feed the flock of God. The word feed means pastor or shepherd, which is among you. This word, taking the oversight thereof. By the way, right beside that word oversight, bishop. Not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger. Boy, I tell you, I wish young people would get a hold of this. There's a lot of young people that want to be on the same level as a mature older adult. You just aren't there yet. And you ought not to put on airs like you are there. That's good preaching. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself to the elder. That's unto the preacher. Ye also, all of you, be subject one to another. And listen to what he says. And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, here's where I'm going to be preaching most of my time tonight. Be sober. I've started just preach on be sober. Sober up. Be vigilant. And I might put those two words together and give you the meaning, and that'll be my title tonight. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the grace of, but the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. And the people said, amen. Our Father, thank you for the good word of God tonight. I want to preach with power. I want to preach with your authority. I want to be clear about what's going on in this world, what's going on, our battle that we're having. And God, help us tonight in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. You that study 1 Peter know that 1 Peter was written by Simon Peter to the people that were scattered all over Pontus, Galatia. They were scattered because of persecution. I want you to know something. I believe we're just now at the tip of persecution. I think if we live long enough or live in the next 10 years, you're going to see some persecution hit our churches that you've never seen before. It's happening now. It's very subtle. In the last election, if we'd have got one bad Supreme Court nominee, one, just one more, we'd have been thrown in chaos. There's already people running for president right now who wants to tax us as a church. They want to take our guns and our freedom and our church rights. And you said that'll never happen in America. Ladies and gentlemen, how many of you believe this? If you look at things that's already happened, how many right now can raise your hand and say, man, I'm shocked at what's happened. Would you have believed what was going on in America, or what's going on in America today would have been going on 20 years ago, even 15 years ago? Ladies and gentlemen, there's an all-out assault on the people of God. And Peter was talking to those kind of people. The people he was talking about was the people that killed Jesus. And by the way, the ones that crucified Jesus, they hated them too. And I want you to know, this world doesn't like you. A Christian and by and large don't like this kind of church. Most of these liberal churches, they don't care much for us because we're trying to get people saved. We're even trying to get some of our church members saved. Amen. I'm going to say something. Oh, maybe I oughtn't say it on live. Sure, well, I'm saying it anyway. It don't matter. I'm about half crazy most of the time. I was talking to a fellow the other day. He's miserable about his church. They're going liberal. They're changing the Bible, and they're changing this, and they're changing their music, and he's just miserable. He hates it. He said, what should I do? I said, leave. Amen. He said, what? He said, I'd like to do something. I said, you can't do nothing about it. You've been in there for 35 years. You ain't done nothing yet. Leave. Get into a sound, independent, fundamental church. Get into one that still preaches the word of God. Get somewhere where you aren't miserable and quit moaning around them. If you ain't going to do something about this, quit talking to me about it. That's what I told him. You said, that's blunt. Might have been blunt, but it's true. Now look, there's two sections here. You might want to write down your notes. Verses 1 through 4, he's talking about the pastor. The pastor is the overseer. The pastor is the elder. He's talking to the pastor. Verses 1 through 4, 1 through 5. And by the way, I thank God that God called me to be a pastor. At the age 22, God called me to preach. I wanted to preach. I dreamed about preaching. I want all y'all to know something about pastoring, real pastors. Real preachers, this is not a hobby. This is more than a vocation. This is more than getting a check. This is a ministry to reach people and help people, make a difference in people's lives. And I'm sick and tired of these Joe Osteen types that with their, boy, I'm about to preach right now. Hey. And some of you, you ought not be left alone by yourself if you're watching him. It's good preaching, preacher. I'm talking about a man of God. This is not a hobby. I'm preaching a real book. I'm preaching the King James Bible, an inspired, infallible, inerrant book. I get to preach a piercing book, a penetrating book, a powerful book. Somebody say amen. Then he goes on. This is one part of the ministry I've really not been able to overcome too much. It says not to be a brawler. I'm having a real hard problem with that. And he oughtn't chase money or women. Hello. And preach your sermon. By the way, I heard this the other day. They say to preach a sermon is like working 8 hours. A 30-minute sermon. I figure a maniac like me is probably worth about 10 hours. Amen. I'm not one of these preachers that just, like tonight, preaching this chapter, I'm not poking up a verse and say, boop, I want that verse, and then build everything around. No, I got this section of scripture that I'm preaching. I'm preaching a message from this passage of scripture, line upon line, and precept upon precept. This crowd was suffering. The men of God were there to help them. Then in verse number 6, he starts talking to the people. And he tells them to humble themselves. How many believe that we're just too proud? I don't want to get too deep here and take too much time. And I don't want to be overly transparent, but I want to do this. I had a man that worked for me, came to work for me when he was 70, I guess. Worked till he's 90. His name was Bruce Young. I remember meeting Bruce, and I told one of the men, I said, I want to hire that guy when I'd heard that he lost his job. And I tell you why I wanted to hire him. I'm going to just tell you what happened, but I hope I don't get bogged down here, Jeff. I want to tell you why I want to hire him. We were in a preacher's meeting. I believe at Bloomingdale Salem Baptist Church. It may have been the other one down there, but I think it was Bloomingdale Salem. I'm not sure of that. Doesn't matter. He was in a good fundamental church there preaching. Or there listening. And I knowed him and had heard his reputation. I knew about him for years. And he gets up among 55 preachers. And here's what he said. And I'm sitting right there on the front row. He said, I'm too proud. He said, I'm just too proud. Now, I knew the guy. How many of y'all know him? How many has he ministered to your family? Been there for you? Amen. Would that have blew your mind if you knowing what you know, he said that? I want to tell you, when he got up and said that, you said, what did you do? Well, I'll tell you what I done, Wayne. I said, that man's too proud. I'm eat up with it. And I didn't even wait. I come to the altar and start praying. I said, man, if he's too proud, I'm too proud. And that touched my life. You know something? Pride will bring you down, but humility will bring you up. Somebody say amen. That's not my sermon, but I thought I'd just give you that real good. Then verse number 7, just follow me in the passage. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting upon him the anxiety, the care, the problems. It's a fishing term. To handle the problem, you cast, like casting out a net. He said, cast your burden, because Jesus is the burden bearer. He's the load sharer. Somebody say amen there. He'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. And he wanted his people to be carefree, but then he cautions them in verse number 8 not to be careless. Somebody help me. I want all y'all to be carefree and have peace and have God's peace in your life, but I don't want the result being that you become careless. Because you're at peace. That's what he's trying to say here. And then here's what I want to preach on tonight. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Look what it said. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I want to preach. I was going to title this Sober Up, but I'm not going to do that. The word sober means this: clear-headed. Clear-headed. I know a lot of people that are not clear-headed. They just don't think right. They don't make the right decisions. They don't talk right. They say things that are foolish. Then he said, be sober, but be vigilant. So here's the message tonight. We need to be clear-headed and watching. Let me say it again. We need to be clear-headed and watching. We need to watch because the adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion. And we need to be clear-headed and not be ignorant about his devices. I want all y'all to know he's not running around in a red cape and with horns and a pit truck. That's not him. Sometimes he runs around in a pulpit as an angel of light. Give you three things why you ought to be clear-headed and watching. Number one, look at verse number 8. We have a seasoned foe. By the way, that word sober also means to be serious. Don't be flippant. I get so sick of seeing Christians that are so flippant. Flipping about the enemy, flipping about the membership in church, flipping about the preacher, flipping about their choir singing, flipping about their Sunday school teaching, flipping. God, we need to be seriously considering with a clear mind God's word and get his help. Good preaching, Reverend. Let me say a few things about this seasoned foe. Three things. Number one, he's a personal adversary. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. Why is it that we get this? I'll tell you what, you ain't clear minded. You think the enemy is us, each other. He's against me. She's against me. They don't treat me right. You're not clear-headed. Your enemy is not in this room. Your enemy is the devil. He's your personal enemy. Hey, by the way, how many in this room saved? Raise your hand up high if you're saved. Can I tell you something? Spiritually speaking, you got a red X on your back and the devil is after you. And the only way to defeat him is to have a clear mind and watch. He's your adversary. That indicates his character. Then his intense comparison. Look what he's compared. He didn't say. Now, don't go around and say the devil is a lion. He didn't say he was a lion. He walketh about as a lion or a roaring lion. He's a ruthless animal. I want y'all to know something. I don't know what's wrong with us, but Jeff, here's what we think about the devil sometimes. Well, he's real nice. He plays nice. And he comes to the table with a good handkerchief on, and he folds his napkin properly. Are you out of your mind? He wants to destroy your life. He is ruthless. He would upend your marriage. He would upend your family. He would upend your friendships. He would, like, if you're in this room lost, damn you to hell and destroy you. Am I preaching? God help us. He's a ruthless animal. Boy, he's got a waving appetite. You know, when a lion roars, that's when he's hungry. He has roaming activity, walketh about. Now, I want y'all to stop a minute. Look at me. How many of y'all got me here? Y'all waved in? He could only be in one place at one time. I don't like to rebuke people. I really don't. I'd rather be a sweet, pleasant guy. But when somebody says something stupid, I'm just going to tell them they're wrong. I had somebody come in. It wasn't one of our members. Came in church. Oh, it's been a year or two ago. Said the devil followed me in the church. I looked at him. I said, are you that important? I said, he only can be in one place at one time. But I'll tell you what he does have. He has a bunch of demons. And he has a bunch of, and by the way, a demon is a fallen angel. Look at me, a demon is not. A demon is not the pre-Adamic race that some people said that fell between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, and they the demons. That's not the demon. Demons are fallen angels. Somebody help me preach. And you said, well, there was a race before this race. Well, I thought the name Eve meant mother of all living. So she's a mother of all living. How was she the mother of people living some prehistoric time and then were judged and they were somewhere between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2? Somebody get rid of that junk. That stuff makes me about half sick of my stomach. A demon is a fallen angel. Good preaching, Reverend. His Roman activity walketh about is intentional cause. He seeketh whom he may devour. He's got a desirable search. You know what? Young preacher, you know what he like to do? I know you've been going through a lot, you and your wife. And I'm proud of you for how you handle yourself. You're doing good, both of you. I love you. But I want you to know something. I know you've been through some ups and downs. But I want you to know the devil's wanting to destroy y'all too. Not just you two. You. All you. Somebody help me. This preacher right here. Is the devil wants to destroy. He's ruthless.
Yeah, buddy.
He takes no prisoners. And he joys when he gets somebody out of church. He joys when he gets somebody to fall. He joys every time a marriage is broke up. He joys every time a teenager gets on dope. He joys every time somebody has premarital sex. He joys when you get into pornography and act like a fool. He joys in it. All right. I want to get to the good part. I'm just preaching, man. I told you I was going to preach hard tonight. I want to help you tonight. Be clear-headed and watch his destructive schemes. Amen. Number two, I want you to notice this. We need to be clear-headed and watching. Number two, because we are in a spiritual fight. Can I ask y'all? I want to ask everybody in this church, how many of y'all in this church realize you're in a spiritual fight? You just realize it. You see, you feel it. The intensity, you know it's happening. Now look what it in verse 9 says. Whom resist steadfast. They got to be a persistent resistance. We can't run. We've got to fight. You know what I say to you? Husband, fight for your marriage. Wife, fight for your marriage. Parents, fight for your kids. Somebody help me. Church, fight for this ministry. Young people, fight for your generation. Christian folks, fight for the gospel. Tell you what's wrong. There's too many Christians putting their sword down and their guns down, and they're just not fighting. We've become weary in well doing. I heard somebody, some knucklehead, said this the other day. He said, "Too many Christians. You know, I'd fight harder, but I'm afraid to burn out." And I had a little sarcasm in my breath. I said, you got to have fire first to burn out. I want you to know something. I'd rather burn out than rust out. Hey, Jeff, when they lay me down in that coffin one of these days and y'all say the last words over me, I want you to be able to say, he fought, he fought. He died still believing the King James Bible. He died still believing in old time music. He died still believing running buses. He died still believing in soul winning. He died passing out tracts. Somebody help me. Glory. Persistent resistance, then a proper reliance. Look here, look here. Whom resist steadfastly in the what? Faith. What do you mean by in the faith? How many's heard the scripture earnestly contend for the? You know what the faith is? It's the whole canon of scripture. It's the Word of God. It's the principles of the Word of God. The only way you can defeat the devil is with God's Word. You can't defeat him with your intellect. You can't think you're too smart for him. You're not too smart for him. But I've got an infallible book that can put him in his place anytime, any place, and anywhere. Am I preaching? Proper reliance. You need to quit looking for a Joe Osteen moment and a seminar. Get your Bible. How many believe reading the Bible helps you? How many believe it's still the power of God unto salvation, the gospel? Then I want you to notice a pertinent realization. I really want y'all to see this. Look at the last part of verse number 9. Who resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that is in the world. I don't want to upset any of you that's suffering and in trouble. But I do want to tell you, you're not alone. You know what we get in our mind? I mean, I see too many isolationist Christians. We get in our mind, I'm the only one having any problem. I'm the only one having any trouble. You know what Paul said? Or Peter said, there's other people having the same problem you are. Common trials, everybody going through it. And then concrete testimonies. I wish sometimes we maybe not even have preaching. Some Sunday night, just Jeff call up preaching. And here's what I like to happen. I don't want no me-a-monies. I don't really like them. But I like for every one of you in this room, just some Sunday night. And that's not even, we just plan not to preach. And I like everyone in this room that's seen God deliver you from something, from the devil. Just stand up and tell about it. Hey, there's some people in this room. I want you to know something. Listen, I don't have to call your name to know you've conquered some things. You got a testimony. Hey, by the way, you know that I call on you to pray. You know why I call on you to pray? You know why I asked you to pray for me? Because I know you've overcome something. I know you stood for something. I know that God delivered you from something. Somebody help me preach. Conquering testimony. You all, we got so many little crybaby me-a-moni whining around. Somebody ought to proclaim, thus saith the Lord, God's been good to me. God's helped me through. Can y'all wave your hand if he's helped you through anything? Amen. Amen. Who's with you when you had heart disease? Who's with you when you had cancer? Who was with you when everybody turned their back on you? Who was with you when that husband or that wife left you? Who was with you? I'll tell you who was with you. A thrice holy God that'll never leave you nor forsake you, but go all the way with you. Whew. Number three, I'm trying not to walk around front because I'm giving people heart attacks lately, so I'm staying back here pretty good tonight. Number three, can I finish verse 10? Yeah. Woo! I like ending up like this. Look here. For he that... I messed my place up. Excuse me. Verse 10, are y'all there? But the God... Let me see if I can read this right. If I don't read it right, will you correct me? I'm having blurred vision. But the God of some grace... But the God of a lot of grace. Whew. But the God of all grace, who had called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Listen, after you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I got to quit. Let me finish. Thirdly, we have a sovereign Father. He has providential grace. Exclusive grace. It's Him. The God of all grace. He has effective supply. All grace. Grace to stand. Grace to sing. Grace to support. Grace to speak. Grace to sustain. Grace to satisfy. Look here. Man, oh man, this is good stuff. You hear me? And look at what he said. But after you suffer, he called us eternal unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you suffered a while, make you perfect, that's complete, established, strengthened, and settle you. The prolonged grind after you suffered a while. How many of us, we don't like that part after you suffer a while? See, there's a process that goes on. Then there's a prospect after you suffer a while. Then a perfecting goal. After you suffer a while, he make you perfect. Well, how can you be perfect or mature if you ain't went through anything? How can you be settled and strengthen if you've never been through anything? You know what, son? Listen, this is a great church. And there's a lot of preachers complaining about their membership. I ain't doing it tonight. Y'all are great people. Because, see, I've seen some of you suffer. I have. I've seen some of you suffer. But I tell you what else I've seen. I've seen God perfect you. I've seen you get settled in your faith. Come on now. I've seen you get strong in the Lord. I want to tell you what. Taze Valley Baptist Church has a lot of great Christians in it. And it didn't happen like, whoop. It happened because God allowed you to go through something so he can make something out of you. Amen. Y'all all with me? I'm done. I'm trying to get done. And what's it all for? Look at verse 11. To whom? To him be what? And dominion forever and ever. Can I tell you a good thing to do to help you spiritually? Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm done. It's praise him when it's going bad. Jeff, praise him when it's going bad. Hey, praise him when it's going bad. Just praise him. I've been knocked down a few times. But I want to tell you, I'll tell you something God loves to hear is to him be the glory. You don't quit. Don't stop. I'm not going to tell you things are always going to be right. I'm going to make a statement here, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand it. But I'll make one final statement. I've heard this statement before, and I'm going to say something that'll shock some of you. I've heard people tell me life's not fair. You're right. Amen. It ain't.
You're right. Yes, sir, brother.
It ain't.
That's it.
I see a lot of things not fair. But I want to tell you what's more than fair. The God I serve. Amen. When life throws me a curveball, He takes me through. When life brings bitterness in me, He takes me through and blesses me. Somebody help me. To Him be the glory. To Him be the glory. Praise Him, somebody. Amen. Bow your head with me. Let me ask a question. I'm going to give the invitation. How many of you in this room be honest enough to say, preacher, I ain't been clear-headed enough. I ain't watched enough. I've let the devil get some space in my life, and I want you to pray for me. I need to make right decisions. Raise them up. I'll see hands. Come on. See them. I want to make right decisions. How many in this room is not saved? If you died right now, you'd go to hell, and you don't want to go to hell. Slip up your hand and say, pray for me. Anybody? Say, I don't want to end up in hell. I want you to pray for me. Slip your hand up. Say it with me. If some of you need some help tonight, and God's blessed you in the message, and I want you to just come up and pray and just say, Lord, I want you. I'm going to pin. I'm going to rely on you. You just come around the altar. That's right. Father, thank you for your good word, for your help. We bless your name. Lord, we just want to be clear-minded and watching so we don't become a statistic of the devil. In Jesus' name, amen. Hurry, hurry, hurry. You ought to be.
Many dangers, toils, and snares.
Sing it.
Are
you, come on now. Just a little more. We're almost
there.
Yes.
How
sweet to say. Amen. Bless you, preacher. That helped me, yes.
Paul got me fired up. I was thinking all through the service when he was talking about people complaining about this and that. I get that way sometimes. But you know what? As the saved, born again child of God, the worst thing that can happen to can we really complain about if we're saved on our way to heaven? Hey, nobody
else. Amen.
Anything to me, I'm on my way to glory. Amen. What's the worst that can happen, really?
Think about it. I am going to turn y'all loose sometime. Just let you get help me what God's done for you. Father, thank you for this good evening. Thank you for the precious word of God. It's been our help again. Help us to live these principles. Bless the person in the room that's going through the struggle. Maybe they haven't even raised their hand about, said a word about, but they are struggling. I pray for them tonight. Touch them. Bless the Singleton family tomorrow. Give me liberty as I preach. In Jesus' name. For his sake. Amen. God bless you. Good night.